This morning's responsive reading is taken from Proverbs chapter 17. So if you'd like to join with us on the exposition from some of the verses that are found here, take your Bible and join us now in Proverbs chapter 17. And in Proverbs chapter 17, there is a whole lot here, beloved, that is so relevant, okay, to what's going on in our own country here today. And let's see if we can spot those. First off, verse 3. The finding pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. So, when you take gold and silver out of the ground, it doesn't come out of the ground pure. It has a lot of impurities attached to it. Rocks, sand, whatever. And so you got to put it into a fiery furnace. And the furnace is then stoked to a certain heat in order to melt the silver and the gold. And when that is extracted, all that's left is stuff that is totally useless. You simply cast it aside. Okay? So notice the symbolism here, Hebrew parallel. You got the image of a refining pot and a stoking furnace. Taking the gold and silver that's just been taken out of the ground with all the impurities, as well as the good gold and the good silver. And how do we extract the good while getting rid of the bad? Testing. You put it in fire. But the Lord testeth or trieth the hearts. I think a good example of this is Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refused, in Daniel chapter 3, they refused to bow down when Nebuchadnezzar married, notice this, Nebuchadnezzar married, and this was quite common in ancient cultures, he married religion and the state together. And when you have that combination, you create a monster, a very bloodthirsty monster, as we see through just regular history. Whether it's modern history, Middle Age history, or even ancient history. Well, these three men refused to bow. The king got mad, and you know the rest of the story. He threatened to cast them in a fiery furnace. And he had this furnace stoked seven times more its normal heat. And he tried to intimidate them and force them to bow to his state religion. And they refused. So he cast them in the fire. He thought that was their doom. God, on the other hand, was testing the integrity and the reliability of their faith. And they came out the winners. And the ones who tossed them in there became the losers because they were consumed by the flames and not the three Hebrew boys. So there are times and seasons, beloved, that in order for God to get rid of the dross in our lives, he has to put us in a cauldron of fire. Persecution, trial, sickness, whatever. To somehow get the point across that he wants nothing but the good to shine while he takes away the dross of our lives. Verse 4. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Think of the news media, and think of the politicians. You ever hear the little joke, how do you know whenever a politician is lying? Well, watch his lips move. And we've seen a whole lot of lying these past two or three years, have we not? We've seen so much lies and so much half-baked truths. And all of these lies and all of these half-baked truths have caused all of us for the past 2 to 3 years to live in intimidation and fear, social distancing, closing churches, closing schools. But we're going to keep those abortion clinics open and the tattoo shops open. Those were classified essentials. Beloved, we've been lied to for a long time. But those lies really seem to hit a higher level of altitude these past couple of years. Now, notice verses 6 in light of the transgender movement and the LGBTQ, X, Y, and Z to the third power. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Well, beloved, when we're butchering children in the womb, And when we're finagling with the gender of children as they were genetically and biologically produced in the womb, when boys become girls and girls become boys, what a radical operation to boot. There'll be no more children's children to crown any old man's head. Isn't that amazing? It seems God's command to Noah to replenish the earth has come under assault. Do you ever stop and realize that those in the baby-killing business and those in the transgender ideology are in open warfare with God Almighty when God told Noah to replenish the earth? Beloved, God has enough natural resources in the earth that he created, even after he destroyed it. Matter of fact, by destroying the earth, he left behind a whole lot of natural gas in the earth, a whole lot of coal beds to burn, and a whole lot of oil to pump out of the ground. Stop and realize all that stuff comes from dead animal and plant life in the flood. What about verse 9? He that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeated a matter separated very friends. Look at verse 14. The beginning of strife is as one letteth out water. Therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with. We've seen that in this church. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. We've had individuals not like what they're hearing, and versus dealing one-on-one with the individual, they scatterbrain and shotgun an email to every member of the church. And what did it lead to? Meddling. It led to strife, and it led to the loss of membership. No apologies here, beloved. That's what the scripture says. It says here, the beginning of strife is as one letteth out water. What happens when you put a hole in a dam? Eventually, that wall that once held back the water bursts. And the water just gushes out. And in that gush of water, what does it do? It destroys everything in its path. According to verse 9, beloved, if you take a matter and you spread it out like butter on bread, a talebearer, or a tattletale, or a gossiper, watch out. You've just put a hole in the dam. And eventually, there'll be no Dutch boy to put his finger in the hole. The dam's going to burst, and people's lives are going to be ruined. And we've seen that. Verse 10, a reproof entered more into a wise man than 100 stripes onto a fool. When it comes to a fool, you can discipline them all you want. Put them in the corner. Give them a timeout. Take away the computer. Take away the cell phone. Take away the smartphone. Ground them. Take the paddle. But if they're a fool, you can do all of that. And apparently it's not going to have any impact on that poor person. They've chosen to be a fool. But reproof will find a home in the heart of a wise man. Verses 13, whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Think of all the bribes and all the stuff that we're hearing about the Biden crime family. Monies from China put into a Shell oil corporation, which according to the bank records that have been made public this past week by the Republican Congress, were funneled into the back pockets of members of the Biden family. Oh well, the news media brought down Richard Nixon. Now the current news media is making sure that Biden and his crime family are not discovered. Isn't that amazing? Verse 15, he that justifieth the wicked, and we see that in our court cases today, where an obvious verdict should go one way, but that verdict is turned a different way. And he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. So those who finagle with the law, those who take the laws that are on the books, black on white, very clear, no ambiguity, and we twist and turn them in order to let the criminal go free while the people that are left behind, the victims of the crime, they're going to be consoled with flowers and teddy bears at the scene of the crime. We're going to have yellow ribbons and teddies and flowers and candlelight vigils. That's all that the victims get. Hoopla. While the murderer or the robber or the thief, he gets a slap on the hand. So according to what's going on in the highest levels of the United States government, all the way down to the city dog catcher, if we pronounce a blessing on the criminal and we condemn the just, both behaviors in God's eyes is an abomination in his sight. So, beloved, we really cannot say at the end of a 4th of July celebration bash in D.C., good evening. Hope you enjoyed our festivities. And may God bless the United States of America. We can't say that no more. Because the axe has fallen on our country. Now we need to say, may God have mercy on our land. God cannot bless America while America pokes him in the eye every day. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.